The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws.
The heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day.
All right, it is a beautiful day here on Relevant Radio. I'm your host, Patrick McCormick of On the Front Porch. It is August 29th, and happy Saturday to everybody out there. The number, the call-in number is 844-438-0991. Again, that's 844-438-0991. My apologies to John. I think he was trying to call in that last segment I think we're fixing that problem. So, folks, so glad you're joining me on the front porch, Patrick McCormick. You can email me at patrick@relevantradio.com. Follow me at Twitter at PMACRR, or check me out at Facebook, The Patrick McCormick Show. And we're going to have information on today's guest. And my next guest is Deacon Leo and Nick Costello, and they're with the Heal Ministry. And I'm so glad you have you on the front porch. I'm really excited to meet you, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So we met, Nick, you and I met over the phone this week, and I find your story of how you and Leo met. And can you kind of just jump right into that before we kind of get into what you're doing with the Heal Ministry?
Yes, I'm a former seminarian myself, and during my time in the seminary, I was in with the Rockford Diocese, and spent 2 years at Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Maryland.
Okay.
And
that's where Monsignor Sweatland was the rector, right?
Right. Yes. I may have been there before he was.
Okay.
But it was 1998, and I was doing second year of theology, and that's when I met Leo.
And you're from Chicago, though?
I'm from Chicago.
Whereabouts?
From the south suburbs, Oak Lawn.
Nice.
Yes.
I'm from St. Thomas More.
Oh, all right.
So perfect. We're neighbors.
Yes.
We're neighbors.
That's right.
And we didn't even know that in the conversation.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. So, okay. So, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. And we were classmates in second theology together. And so we hit it off and became good friends and had a lot of good conversations. And it was at that time that I also learned about Leo's mission work back in his country. So it was something that was of interest to me back then, and it's just developed and grown ever since.
And Deacon Leo, you just became a deacon. You'll become I didn't say your last name is Okonkwo, right?
Yes, Okonkwo.
Okonkwo. Okay, I'm working on it.
Yeah, that's good.
So you became a deacon recently, and you're going to become a priest when?
By hopefully December.
All right, we'll be praying for you. That's very exciting.
Indeed.
That's very exciting. So you're at the seminary with Nick, and you meet, and tell us a little bit about your background and where you're from. You're from the Diocese of Cameroon in Bafang?
Actually, I belong to the diocese of a diocese in Cameroon called Bafang, but Bafang. I'm not from Cameroon. I'm from Nigeria.
Nigeria. Okay.
Yes. What we know today as Hill and my background, springs up as far back as 1983, when I was 11 and a half years old, and my parents had some problem financially, and so I was kind of out of school and was given to another family away from home for money to support the rest of the family members. So there was no hope.
So you had to leave your family because your family couldn't take care of you? Or
yes.
Okay.
So eventually this other family that took me in helped me to get back to school. And so I was able to go to school and actually prayed before that moment It was a rosary that my mom gave to me when I was going away from the home, and that I kept on praying, and met this other fellow who told me about the seminary and gave me novena prayer to St. John Bosco. Since I was used to praying every kind of prayer.
And you're 11 years old at the time?
11 and a half years old.
Wow.
So it was this novena prayer that I made, asking God that I wanted to go to school and I have nobody to train me, and that if I have opportunity to go to school, that I was going to be a priest and I was going to look for poor people, orphans, wherever they are in the world. And I actually practically said that I was going to be their slave. So after 9 days of this novena prayer, someone picked me up, and that was how I went to school. I eventually went to minor seminary, eventually finished my high school, which was minor seminary in our country, and was able to go to senior seminary for philosophy.
So hang on, I have to stop here for 1 second. Folks, we're talking to Deacon Leo and Ankunkwo and Nick Costello, and they're friends from the seminary, and we're talking about the kind of the story here about Deacon Leo. So you said this novena prayer.
Yes.
That is really, really powerful. So your mother gave you the rosary.
Yes.
Were you able to get connected? But were you still in contact with your family?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Because after the novena prayer was done, and I believe God heard the prayer, and I was able to get somebody to send me to school, I reconnected with my family. And since then, although my father is of blessed memory, my mom is still alive, but my life changed. You know, my life changed.
And you told our Lord, you told God, you said, I'm going to be a slave to?
The orphans, poor and marginalized.
So the orphans and the poor and the marginalized, you're going to be their slave?
Yes, and that I was going to spend the rest of my life
serving
them. So one thing led to another. Wow. And I find myself in North America on that scholarship and studying. That was when, of course, I now met Nick, still carrying on with the mission of taking care of the poor and marginalized.
When did you come here? So you were 11 when you made the prayer.
Right.
Then you went to school, obviously, and through high school.
Yes, I finished my high school in Nigeria, 1986, 87, and then, of course, went to university, which was senior seminary for philosophy at Claretian Institute of Philosophy, which was affiliated to Rome Urban University.
Okay.
So when I finished my first degree, that was in philosophy, and I came to 1995, 96, I came to University of Toronto, where I studied theology. And then now came to U.S., where I met Nick when I was doing my second year theology. I actually finished up at Holy Apostles College and Seminary, my graduate studies, in 2001, and then went back to Nigeria. Now, but the problem is, the point here is that in 1997, having received God's grace and passed through all this ministry, I started writing articles. I was a little very, very inclined to social teachings of the church. I wanted to speak and defend the poor and marginalized. I wanted to be able to attract attention to the needs of the African widows and orphans in my country, where the widows are denied of their husband inheritance and pushed away from the family. So those things, because I too am a son of a widow. Like I told you, my father died.
When did he die?
My father died in 1986, June 14th, actually the day after my birthday.
How old were you?
76. I was about 15 years old, okay, when this happened. So,
can I stop you and interrupt you for a second? When you made the prayer and told our Lord, I will be their servant, their slave, why did you do that? What was it that drove you to actually make that?
I realized in my life, I realized my helplessness. I realized my condition. I realized that the only way I could give back such immense favor of finding myself back to my desire as an infant, when I watch priests in the church, when my mother takes me to church, I watch priests say mass, I watch what they do. I get home, I will start using ordinary water and cup to do something as a kid. I wanted to be a priest. So, but when this incident happened, I was taken away, and I know that I will no more go to school. So I know that the only thing, the greatest favor that I can receive from anyone would be to bring me back to that track. Amen. Where I can serve God.
Amen.
As a priest.
Amen. Deacon Leo Ankunkwo and Nick Costello, we're going to take a quick break. Folks, we are talking about the Heal Ministry. Hold over. You got to hear this story. This is Patrick McCormick. We're on the Front Porch. We'll be right back. It's a beautiful day.
Join Pope Francis in praying for the family and for the world meeting of families this fall in Philadelphia.
God and Father of us all, in Jesus your Son and our Savior, you have made us your sons and daughters in the family of the Church. May your grace and love help our families in every part of the world be united to one another in fidelity to the gospel.
May the example of the Holy Family, with the aid of your Holy Spirit, guide all families, especially those most troubled, to be homes of communion and prayer, and to always seek your truth and live in your love.
Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.
Relevant Radio encourages you to join Pope Francis in praying for the family. From Philly to D.C. to NYC, count on Relevant Radio for continuing coverage of the Holy Father's visit to America. This is Talk Radio for Catholic Life. This is Relevant Radio.
I just happened to listen to a small segment of Father Simon. I just need to know, is it morally wrong?
Yes, you should listen to all of Father Simon's show every day. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. Father Simon is such a great mind and brings such pastoral wisdom and insight to the questions that he answers.
Father Simon Says.
I'm digressing and I haven't even started.
11 Eastern, 10 Central on Relevant Radio.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Drew Mariani here.
Hey, Drew. Hi.
Hey, put this number in your speed dial. It's 920-406-7336.
I was calling more with regard to the question on the Sabbath day.
It's your hotline to the show.
Why does Planned Parenthood, who does not recognize a baby, sell baby parts?
Again, that number's 920-406-7336.
Thank you so much for this message, Ryan.
Why not? Give me a call now.
I'm gonna give you my heart. Cause you're a sky, cause you're a sky full of stars. Cause you light up the path. I don't care.
All right, welcome back to the Front Porch. My host, Patrick McCormick. It is Saturday morning, August 29th, and so glad you're with me. The number is 844-438-0991. And who I have on the front porch is Deacon Leo Ankunkwo from Nigeria, Africa, and Nick Costello from the south side of Chicago, two friends that met in the seminary. And we're talking to Deacon Leo about, and you're going to be a priest hopefully this coming December.
Yes.
So folks out there, please pray for him. In his ordination, upcoming ordination. But we're talking about the Heal Ministry that Deacon Leo founded back when he was a youngster, back in the 90s, around the 90s.
Late 90s.
So, and Heal stands for Home to Enhance African Life. So I like that. That's a great acronym. Mm-hmm. So, Reverend Leo, let's kind of jump back into where we're talking before about a little bit about your story. You promised our Lord that you would serve, be a slave to the marginalized, and those are the widows, the orphans, anyone else.
The poor villages.
The poor villages.
The poor people, abandoned, the street boys and girls.
And you made a promise to our Lord, and he took you up on that promise.
Yes. And he challenged me in 1997. Because having given me all the blessings and my involvement in Toronto, Canada, while I was a student at the University of Toronto, in talking about social justice and the social teachings of the Holy Father, Saint Pope John Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, I thought things were going to change by my words and my speeches and writings. So, but I realized that nothing was changing. So I went to the Blessed Sacrament in July 17th, 1997, before the tabernacle. That was where I was praying. You know, I don't know. One might think that something is wrong, as people say, but I don't see anything wrong in going to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. And while I was there, I really said to God that, are you not hearing, are you not seeing what is happening? Of all I'm doing, nobody is reacting. Nothing is going on. Because then I found out that what was happening to me as I was praying, that I was not really praying. I was more or less complaining to God rather than praying. So, and I heard this voice, and I said I heard, because honestly I heard. It was loud and it was very clear. You are complaining because you want people to bring money to help you do this and do that for the poor and marginalized. That's good. But you, what are you doing with the money I gave to you? It was like a movie show, a memory lane.
Mm.
I realized in 1994, I published a book when I finished my first degree in 1994, Salvation, a Serious Matter, because I belong to a charismatic ministry. The book sold heavily in my country. And the money, I never used it. I banked it. When I came to Toronto, Canada, like I told you, we couldn't, of course, we can't go through the history of my life here. But if I tell you how I got the admission and how things happened in Nigeria, you will not realize how, why I was gifted in mathematics. So I solved difficult problems like calculus. So I taught grade 13 students in Canada during holidays. I taught the mathematics. I was paid. And I made a lot of money from that teaching. I didn't use the money. I banked it. While I was in Toronto,
so you just saved it. You just put it away.
Yeah, I saved it.
You weren't like spending it all over the world.
No, yes, I didn't spend.
Yeah.
I saved the money.
Mm, you banked it.
Yes,
got it.
Then, I was also paid, given allowance in the seminary. That is, as a foreign student, that money I didn't spend it. Then the question now is, how did I survive for the first 5 years I was in Toronto? I was in Canada. I was in North America.
Mm.
What I did was, I went door to door where they keep the old clothes that people were used and dumped. I collected them. As they put them in their garbage for recycling, I take them out. I ask the owners, I take them, and I select the good ones. I wash them. That's what I wore. And that's what I was wearing throughout that period.
Mm.
The money I kept. So when this question
it
came,
doesn't sound like you're doing anything bad with the money. You're just keeping it.
Yes. But the point is, I was keeping it and I was going out to tell people, bring money. Let's go and do this for the poor. Let's send people to school. Whereas my own money, I hoarded.
Yeah.
So when God challenged me on that, I realized that God was telling me, all those money you were saving, I'm the one that gave you the incentive to save them. I'm the one that gave you the idea to save them. And then you were saving them because of the promise that you made, that you will take care of the poor and marginalized. So I give you opportunity to get the money, save, and now you don't want to bring it to serve the poor and the marginalized. Rather, you want other people to bring.
Mm.
So when this challenge came to me, I now made the decision to will all the money I had for the service of the poor and marginalized. That's actually how I founded the first organization called Water for Life Missions.
So you founded Water for Life Missions.
Water for Life Missions.
So that was the beginning.
That's the beginning.
Okay, got it.
And that's what you know today as HEAL.
Wow.
You see, so it's a development of Water for Life Mission that is called HEAL.
All right, let me check back in here with folks that are just tuning in. I'm talking to Deacon Leo Okonkwo, who's from Nigeria, and he is a seminarian who became a deacon recently, is going to become a priest. And we're telling his story. And also, by his side, we have Nick Costello here from Chicago. They met in seminary. And Deacon Leo founded HEAL, which is Home to Enhance African Life. So back in 1997, you're praying before the Blessed Sacrament. You're telling God, you're telling our Lord, in the host, in the Eucharist, in the tabernacle, why aren't you hearing me or listening to me? And he gave you a message that you weren't really ready for. Or you must have been absolutely blown away.
Yes. And it made me realize my own infidelity.
Right.
My own frailty.
Fidelity.
As you would say. Because I could not have done extra other than the will of God. And I believe what I was doing was will of God until this question came to me. So, of course, that is how the mission now took off. So when I completed my studies and went back to my country, I began to gather the orphans and the widows. I began to do the work. I took them to a very remotest village. As I go to the streets, as I see people that have the needs of orphans, I take them to this bush where I built a house. And there, I kept them and live with them. I pray with them. I walk with them in the farm. I established piggery farm, poultry farm, crop plantations. From there, we grow what we eat. We ate together, myself and these children and the widows. So other young boys and girls that came from rich family that educated began to come kind of like tourism to see what is going on.
Yeah.
Some of them came and stayed and now started helping me to take care of these children and these people. So it was how we were doing until the money I had started going down. So I could no more pay for these children to go to public school or to go to private schools because they are also very expensive.
Yeah.
So what do I do? We have started already, but what do I do? So I have to begin homeschooling. So I started to homeschool these children with this group of people. So it was that homeschool that we did till 2012. The standard of education was very strong, very solid. But because of the building was thatched houses, I don't have any picture here. I would have just shown you. But you can look at some of them in our brochure.
I have your brochure here, yeah.
So because of that, when the government came for the approval of the school, they refused to approve it because the standard of the structures were very dilapidated. So what do we do now? They wanted to close it down. It was then in 2012, 2013, I then called Nick, who is my classmate. And that was how I came to US the second time. And with him in 2013, after we have shared his story, I have told him everything, I explained what was going on, my faith in this mission that we now founded, what you know as HEAL.
HEAL.
So that's when HEAL was founded, 2013. But the spirit behind HEAL is the same thing that has been happening since 1983, the promise that was made to God, and 1997, the challenge that God, you know, confronted me with, and then to the present day, which made me to go back to my country and started gathering and caring and teaching. And
so at the age of 11, you make a promise to God that you're going to serve the marginalized, you're going to serve the poor, you're going to serve the children, right? So the orphaned.
Right.
And that's your mission now.
Right.
And so it goes. Now, Nick, so he reaches out to you, and you're back here in seminary or in Chicago?
In Chicago, working.
Okay. And then you want to pick up from there?
Sure. I lived on and still live on the near north side of Chicago, which is where I was 2 years ago. And at that time, I was busy, had different activities. I worked in advertising sales, so I was on the phone and on the road a lot with that job. I was in the Knights of Columbus as a Grand Knight of my local council, and was involved with different charitable programs through the Knights.
Your cell phone company.
We're gonna have to break for a commercial real quick. Let's hold off there, folks. I'm talking to Deacon Leo Okonkwo and Nick Costello about the HEAL ministry, and that's Home to Enhance African Life. This is very interesting stuff. Hold over to the break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Voice to our shepherds, Relevant Radio. His Holiness, Pope Francis.
¿Cuál es la materia más importante que tienen que aprender en la universidad?
Which is the most important subject that you have to learn in university?
¿Cuál es la materia más importante que hay que aprender en la vida?
What is the most important subject you have to learn in life?
Aprender a amar.
to learn how to love.
Y este es el desafío que la vida te pone a vos hoy. Aprende a amar.
And this is the challenge that life offers you, to learn how to love.
No solo acumular información.
And not just accumulating
un momento que no sabes qué hacer con ella.
Without knowing what to do with it.
Sino a través del amor que esa información sea fecunda.
But through that love, that information bear fruit.
Giving voice to our shepherds. Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant radio.
Bishop-elect Robert Barron, I should be calling him by that title, has talked about what his mission is going to be when he moves. He's going to be auxiliary bishop in Los Angeles.
I think the number one concern of the Catholic Church today, the massive attrition of our own people, that 75% of Catholics don't come to Mass, we become so used to that, that we, oh yeah, we take it for granted. Well, we should never take that for granted. That's a scandal that 3/4 of our own people don't participate in the source and summer of the Christian life, don't come for the divine life at Mass. And let's face it, a lot of our young people are leaving the church and not coming back. All the stats show that. A lot of the people that we baptize, that we confirm, that we educate, that we catechize, leave the church. Well, that's a scandal, and that should be priority one.
It should be, and that's what Relevant Radio is all about.
Hi, this is Father Rocky, and at Relevant Radio, we put the Mass in mass media.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant Radio.
Hello, Father James Kubicki here with a couple questions. If you saw someone about to accidentally drink a container with poison in it, would you stop them? If you didn't warn them, would you be responsible for their death? Would that be what we call a sin of omission? I think I know how you'd respond to those questions, and the reason I bring this up is because this is what Christians are called to do. We live in a world that is toxic, that has a lot of things that will poison people spiritually, and we have a responsibility to warn people who are drinking that poison. That's what St. John the Baptist did, and today we're celebrating a feast in honor of his courageous death. John had told King Herod that he was drinking poison by continuing in an immoral relationship. So Herod had John imprisoned, and one day when he was drunk at a party and was pleased with the erotic dancing of his wife's daughter by another marriage, he promised to give her anything she wanted. Her mother said, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist." Not wanting to look bad in front of all the guests, Herod sent an executioner to the prison to behead John. It's not easy to be committed to the truth and to tell others about it. The world wants to say, it's all relative, you have your truth and I have mine. But if anyone tells you that, just ask them a simple question. How do you know that's true? You see, deep down, we do have standards of right and wrong, truth and falsehood. Without these standards, we'd all be in danger of drinking poison.
For more prayer resources, go to relevantradio.com. Keyword, pray.
Across the sea into my soul. It reaches into where I cannot hide. Setting my feet upon the road.
All right, welcome back to The Front Porch. I'm your host, Patrick McCormick. It's August 29th, and happy Saturday, everybody out there. I'm happy to have on The Front Porch Deacon Leo Okonkwo and Nick Costello from HEAL, the HEAL Ministry, and that's Home to Enhance African Life. And Nick, before we broke to break, mm-hmm. Well, that's a tough one to say, you were telling a little bit about kind of your support of the HEAL Ministry and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it was 2013 in the fall, and I was just going about my business, my work and my role in the Knights of Columbus, and I had a little bit of a social life. And all of a sudden, I get a call from my old friend, Leo. And he said, "Nick, I need your help," was the first thing he told me on the phone. And I was like, well, it's, great to talk to you too, Leo. And what do you need help with? And he explained.
And this is not like I'm moving from my house to another house home, or I need some help painting my house.
I can tell just by the question it was something major. And so
serious business we're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. And I was like, okay, you know, thinking maybe I can host him here for a couple days or something. And but I ended up picking him up at Union Station and at the end of July 2013, you know, and he told me the need regarding building this new structure for the students, or else his mission will be shut down. And I began to experience the reluctance in me, in spite of my old friend from seminary coming back, and it being great to see him again. I realized he had a very great need, and I didn't have the internal resources or will to meet that need, or to go to any great lengths to meet that need. So it was kind of like Leo before talking about being reluctant to spend that money.
Yeah, he was banking his money, and then
I was reluctant to give up my activities,
your availability.
Yeah, but you know, the first morning after he stayed at my condo, which I should say I first suggested to Leo the idea that I put him up in a hotel, because I just being a bachelor, I didn't want to
keep an arm right. Yeah,
I wanted my space.
Sure.
You know, and so he said, Nick, if we spend money on a hotel, that's money that could go to the orphans and widows.
Everything counts.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So the first morning after he stayed overnight, we went to Mass at Holy Name Cathedral and morning Mass. And I turned out I knew the priest celebrating the Mass. And so it turned out to be a priest who was in seminary with me. And I was thinking at the time with Leo also. But I wasn't sure if he knew him.
Mm.
So we went up after Mass into the sacristy, and as soon as I introduced Leo to this priest, they embraced each other and started reminiscing about the past. And I thought, okay, great, my job is done. I've introduced him. He's got someone who can now start introducing him to other people. Now, what happened next is really what opened my eyes. The sacristan overheard Leo discussing with the priest his mission. He started immediately talking about the orphans and the widows and what he's doing. The sacristan comes up to us, woman, and says, I heard you talk about what you're doing in your country, and I want to help you. Can you come back tomorrow at the same time? And we said, sure, we'll come back tomorrow. So returned to the same Mass the next morning, 7 a.m. Mass at Holy Name. And we meet the sacristan afterwards. And she's like, I'm so glad you came back. And I just wanted to help you here. Take this. She gave us an envelope. And so we walk back to my condo from Holy Name, wondering what's in this envelope. But get back up to my room. And Leo takes the envelope, opens it up, and he pulls out $1,000 bills, $1,000.
Wow.
From a stranger. And at that point, I realized, okay, something more may be going on here. You know, the Holy Spirit was obviously at work in this. And as it turned out, everyone I began introducing him to, or most of the people I introduced him to, had similar reactions, not of $1,000, but wanting to do something. And over time, Patrick, I just got more and more something opened up in me, and from my past seminary time with Leo.
And you released the funds.
Right. Well, you know. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's beautiful.
Right. And that,
and I think
that
a lot
respect.
Of Americans can relate to that. Because there's like a reluctance to give.
Yeah.
I mean, we're very generous, but there's certain a bit of like, there's fear, you know?
Right.
It's like, are we all in or not? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So Leo, you mentioned that your ministry has gotten confirmation from the bishop.
Right.
That's right. So we have a few minutes left here. What I'd like to do is, can you talk a little bit about that? And then kind of the support that we're doing here, that Nick's doing here in the United States to raise funds for the school?
Yes. Actually, because of the activities of the missionaries called Messengers of Justice or Compassionate Companion, brothers and sisters, they work with the orphans and widows in my country, as well as in Cameroon, where we are now, is so enormous. And the spirituality of self-emptying, which I took time to explain how we live it before the bishop, and has attracted a lot of attention. And the bishop has seen the value of the self-emptying lifestyle of a religious, whereby Jesus Christ himself, our Lord and Master, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 through 11, you know, who was in the form of God, but emptied himself, you know, taking the form of a slave. Like I said, I promised to be a slave to the poor at age of 11 and a half. So here we are living with that spirituality of becoming humble, of looking at the service of God, the order of religious life or priesthood, not as power, but as service.
Sure.
Service for the love of the people, the abandoned, the weak, the weary. It is this that has granted us this very, you know, favor of the bishop to recommend us as religious orders erected as diocesan rites.
So you're going to have your own order?
Yes.
So when you become a priest, coming up here, even if you don't become a priest, do you have to become a priest to have an order?
You don't have to become a priest to have an order.
Got it. Okay. You should be a deacon. But you're going to become a priest.
Yes.
And you're going to have an order. And is in, wow.
And the order of brothers who will become, we have about 25 group now. We have 10 novices, 10 in the novitiate, and 15 postulants waiting to enter novitiates. There are still more who are applying. We have about 35 nuns, sisters, who have lived since 15 years now, since 2001 to the present day. So who are members of the female group, and then this about 25 who are members of the men group.
Folks, I am talking to Deacon Leo Nkonkwo and Nick Costello. Nick is the president of HEAL, and Leo is the founder and vice president of HEAL, which HEAL stands for Home to Enhance African Life. And very, very exciting work you're doing here. Your mission is to serve the marginalized, the poor, the orphans, and the widows of Africa. And you are in the Cameroon and the Bafang Diocese. Now, folks that are listening here, we just have a few minutes left. Leo, you're heading back to Africa on the 14th of September. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So September 2nd, there's a benefit, folks. People in Chicago like parties. Mm-hmm. They like benefits. They like great causes because they're very generous and loving. So folks, it's in Northbrook. Leo, can you talk a little bit? I'm sorry, Nick, can you talk a little bit about the benefit?
Yes. As you said, it's going to be hosted at a home in Northbrook. A generous couple is allowing us to have the benefit there.
So I hope they have enough room for like 20,000 people to show up.
Well, yeah. Whoever wants to come, we welcome them. Probably room for about 75, actually.
That's right.
But
if people want to support, though.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, the idea here, folks, is that your mission needs help.
Right.
From financial help as well as spiritual people to pray for it.
We're still looking for people to come to the event.
Okay.
You can go to www.healnigeria.org/benefit.
Okay.
And you can RSVP right there.
Okay. Is there a phone number that they can call here?
Yes.
Is that 312-952-4855?
Right. That's my number. They can call me and ask me any questions.
Okay. Great.
And yeah.
That's fantastic. Leo, is there anything else as far as the folks that are listening right now need to hear about HEAL or Nick if that we're missing here? This is fantastic work. I'm so honored to have you mm-hmm. come on the front porch here in Chicago mm-hmm. to tell the story of what our Lord's directed you and tasked you with.
Yeah, for me, I think I wanted to add the issue about the widows.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes.
The widows
this
that
is huge.
Lost their husband
mm-hmm.
In Africa and especially in Nigeria. Most of the times, you have these widows lose their properties, the properties of their late husband to their uncles or their husband's brothers. And at the end of the day, you have some of the children and the wife, you know, abandoned on the road as beggars. As a matter of fact, Nick, when he was there, he saw some of these women and their children living with us and working with us in the farm. So we also have social justice apostolates. Some of my sisters, I trained them as lawyers. And that was because before, like I told you, when I came
not,
back.
Not, these are your real sisters.
Yeah. No, religious.
Religious my sisters. Congregation. Not, got your congregation sisters. Got
yes.
It. Okay.
They do this work because before we pay lawyers and the money was too much. So right now, that was how I got the inspiration to train them so that they can now, follow the case to the end without we having to spend money on an easy basis. So that's what we've been doing. And the Boko Haram issue, some of the people in this Boko Haram area that were affected in the bombing, also when he came there, he saw Chinenye, Chinemerem, and Faustina. They were victims of Boko Haram, a village attack in one of the places in Mina. And the parents were, the father was killed. And so the children, we recovered them. They are also part of the compassionate orphanage homeschool where we are, and they are growing and they're doing well. So
amen.
There's a lot of work
going on. There's a lot of work going on. Folks, to support this, it's a call 312-952-4855 or check out www.healnigeria.org. HEAL stands for Home to Enhance African Life. Deacon Leo Okonkwo, the founder and vice president of HEAL, and the president, Nick Costello, from here from Chicago. Really appreciate you coming on the front porch. We will all pray for your work and your mission. So God bless you.
Thank you, Patrick,
for
having us.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.